Good news, we are no longer facing a national blood crisis. However, the blood supply remains extremely vulnerable here and across the country, especially as we are approaching new seasonal challenges like the end of summer travel and, of course, back to school activities. It could certainly disrupt a donor's availability to be able to give. Richard Brannigan, CEO of the American Red Cross Connecticut and Rhode Island region, is back to give us more and talk about this update. Richard, welcome back to the show. And I first of all want to just mention, thank God, we're not at a national blood crisis level anymore. Still vulnerable, but luckily not in that crisis level. How does that happen? I mean, is it as simple as just people all lining up to donate because there's a call to action? Like, how do we go from where we were in the middle of the summer, a national crisis, to still needing blood supply, but it's in a healthier place?
Good morning, Melissa, and it's great to be here. And you nailed it. It's about people showing up. It's about people rolling up their sleeves and responding. And I want to start by saying thank you to your listeners and to you for helping call attention to a crisis level that it was historic. We hadn't seen it only one other time coming out of COVID. And the people really stepped up and answered the call and, you know, rolled up their sleeve, thought about making appointments, followed through on those appointments. And it really takes a community to do that. And your listeners and other people here in Connecticut really stepped up to answer that call.
I think that's a really big deal, certainly, and I'm happy to hear that. And obviously, I think this is what local radio, local journalism is about. I know a lot of the Connecticut stations also did stories on this, and I'm grateful. That's what we should be doing. That's part of our job. But do you feel like, Richard, as you mentioned before, this was something we had never honestly seen to this level, at least in recent history, for blood donations? Do you feel like we have learned anything, or do you feel like, okay, so the call to action's out there. Do you think these are going to be people who continue to step up? Do you think that the messaging has changed, that this isn't like a one-time deal, that you can continue to give? You know, what would you say, you know, kind of, is your messaging changing at all? Or are there ways that we can hold on to the people who stepped up this time to keep giving or to get the message out there how easy it is to give?
You know, it could not be as easy as we can make it. We're really cognizant of the donor experience. We had a number, and this is where we really want to hang our hat. It's on the number of new donors who step up and
become, in essence, lifetime donors.
And it's a great thing to do.
You know, I have the privilege,
Melissa, of attending a number of blood drives throughout
the year and on a weekly basis.
And I see people coming in, and
sometimes they're a little nervous.
But when they leave and they've accomplished
something,
it didn't cost them anything but their time. And
the look on their face, that
sense of pride and accomplishment, is something that's very, very unique.
So we look to build on that. Our messaging is the need for blood is constant. And
there's a need to have new blood donors coming out
and making this part of their routine, making this part of their
lives. And you touched on it earlier when you said, you know, we're in September. There's a lot of things
going on.
Scheduling is challenging sometimes.
And there's just a lot of
busyness in people's lives these days. But carving out
that time to help their fellow human beings is so important. And
people in Connecticut have really stepped up to answer that.
So do you think, Richard, and I wouldn't know, but maybe people on the grounds are giving you that kind of feedback. Did you see more young people or more variety of people giving? I know the last time we had you on and we were at this crisis level, one of the things I had said was, generationally, I think we don't look at blood donations the same as, I would say, the boomers. So, for example, my, you know, and even older than the boomers, my grandparents always gave blood. That was just something that you did, you know, and that kind of dates back to the wartime and giving back and all of that. And then my parents, you know, my mom gives blood and gives platelets. And I know it's something she, you know, really prides herself on doing. And, you know, she was a registered nurse, so she keeps doing it. But I don't feel that same regard to give blood as I'd say older generations did. And I don't think it's necessarily because we're not a caring generation, millennials, Gen Z. I just don't think it's as top of mind as what older generations are used to. Did you see a different demographic starting to come in to donate? Or did we feel like after getting out of crisis mode, we can do something to make blood donations more top of mind for other generations?
I think we're always looking for those opportunities to reach new donors. And whether it's millennials or Gen Z, you know, some of it has to do with, you know, the promotions that we do to say thank you. And right now we're doing a Hello Kitty thank you gift. And after that, you know, we're doing, you know, some other exclusive memberships like, you know, a $15 e-card and trying to find things that appeal to donors. There's a pickleball promotion with an exclusive Red Cross pickleball paddle and ball. And that is something that, you know, we try and shake up that variety to appeal to different people throughout the year. A couple of years ago, we did a Snoopy promotion that really, really hit the ground and people paid attention to it. So it's a matter of trying to stay top of mind, or at least in the midst of people's thought process, so that, you know, in their busy lives, they can consider donating blood for the reason that I said earlier. It saves lives. That makes such a difference in someone's life. And the feeling that you get for doing it is totally remarkable and, you know, without equal.
We are chatting with Richard Branigan, who is the CEO of the American Red Cross Connecticut and Rhode Island region. And September is National Preparedness Month, which is a time for you to make sure that your family, your household is ready for any emergency that could be coming your way. Richard, what do we mean by that, first of all, when we talk about emergencies, especially this time of year? Are we talking weather? What do you mean?
Yeah, it could be weather. It could be any unplanned event that results in power loss. For example, a transformer that blows in your neighborhood down the street could result in a day without power. And it's those unprepared, unforeseen circumstances that we want people to give some thought to while they can.
And to do that now, while the sky is blue and the sun is shining, and to take some time to just think about how they can do it without spending a whole lot of money. That's the other pressure that folks have these days.
Is, you know, the cost of gas,
the cost of groceries, all of those things,
you know, make you want to put off those
considerations about emergency planning. So we're encouraging people to think now, to think about how they can better prepare their household,
wherever that household is. And do it according to your own circumstances and what your needs are going to be
without power or as a result of a storm that will be coming our way someday.
And the other thing to keep in mind, Richard, which I know the American Red Cross is very aware of, is prices continue to climb to have things in your home and to be ready for an emergency situation. So what if getting your household ready doesn't have to break the bank? How do you do that?
Yeah, so there's some real good suggestions that
we have to do that. One is to start with
our Red Cross emergency app. It's free of charge.
It can be downloaded from the App Store or wherever you get your apps.
And it's the kind of information
that will help you plan and to consider those things that are going to be very important to you in the time of an emergency or a pending storm coming your way.
The other thing we suggest, and this doesn't cost anything, is to
develop that plan for your own household. Know where, if you're separated, you know, by
your family members, know where their gathering spot might be. Have a plan that includes your pets. Set aside some pet food, you know, an extra can of this or that with a
can opener. That is manually oriented, so you don't, in case you lose power. You know, consider your medications, all of the things. Have an extra supply of that. Usually your pharmacies will be very cooperative in helping you plan for those kinds of things.
And then gather your supplies in advance. You know, one thing I like to say is that water is
one of those vital resources that we
don't think about. We turn on the tap and
water comes out. But during an emergency, during a power outage, if you live in a home with a well or you're dependent on that power supply as a pump, you may have to seek alternative means. So saving that extra milk jug and filling it with water so you can,
you know, have a drink or
flush a toilet. Those are the kinds of things
that don't require a lot of expense, but do require
just a little bit of thought now.
Yeah, I think it's also just kind of, I don't know, I always like to build upon things. It's sort of like holiday lists. So I don't know, people think I'm crazy, Richard, and you could certainly, you know, jump on that bandwagon if you'd like to. No problem. But when I think about holiday shopping, I have never been that person that starts after Thanksgiving. Like, I've already started. I start to build, if you will, much like if I were to pay off a trip. I will book a trip a year and a half out because I know that I'd rather pay month to month than to be like, all right, we're going somewhere next month. Let's figure out how we're going to dish this money out. And I feel like we just don't put that kind of attention into an emergency kit, a stay-at-home kit, or something in the car. And it's silly, right? So if you go places, for example, they'll randomly have things on sale. And I kind of have a checklist, if you will, in my phone that's kind of active. And I always think to myself, just have this updated. And if you got it, then take it off the list. But when sales pop up especially, right? I mean, I think we can kind of, if it was more top of mind, people would probably have emergency kits and it wouldn't break the bank. You know, if you're slowly kind of building that kit together and you're having these things just ready to go, you know, I think it could feel overwhelming when we find out in 3 days there's this massive storm coming and we might lose power and do you have everything you need, and now they jack up the prices, right? I mean, I think it's keeping it top of mind would also be helpful.
Yeah, Melissa, you're not crazy. You're thoughtful and
you're planning ahead. And there are some folks who rely on delivery services, for example, that may be challenging on the eve of a storm coming our way or a post-storm situation, where if that's how you're getting your groceries delivered or your semi-essential items, then, you know, you may have to think about that in a different way. So it's the thought process that we want to generate some discussion around. We want people to think about their friends and relatives, make sure that their neighbors are included in their thought process. But those stay-at-home kits
and to-go kits don't have to
cost a whole lot of money. Just a little bit of thought going into it. As you said, picking up some extra supplies when they're on sale or clicking that extra box when you're doing an order and putting it aside someplace.
That makes sense when you need to grab it and go.
Those are the things you should be aware of. The other thing is when you're preparing, you know, the kit is one thing, the plan is another thing.
Staying informed is critical. You know, we just listened to Paul's weather forecast again. And
that top of mind awareness
of pending situations or storms that are gathering or coming
our way, that situational awareness is critical
to reacting to any type of event, an emergency
that might be coming our way. So staying informed, making your own kit, making a plan, downloading the app, looking for opportunities to, you know, stay involved with your community. Those are all great things that you can do to be prepared.
Yeah. And by the way, as we talk about, you know, staying on budget, that app is absolutely free. That is the Red Cross Emergency app. It also will not only make sure you're prepared with those checklists we talk about, but they have the National Weather Service alerts on there, live weather maps. You can help locate Red Cross shelters, and it's available in both English and Spanish. There's a lot to love about this. I'm going to put the link actually up on our website, voiceofct.com. If you want to learn more, download the app, can't hurt, and to just feel more prepared. And like I said, to just kind of start building those kits slowly but surely, especially with sales going on constantly for whatever reason, stores decide to do sales sales here and there, not just around holidays. And Richard Branigan, I want to thank you so much for all that you do, you and your team at the American Red Cross. Again, CEO of the American Red Cross Connecticut and Rhode Island region. Thank you for always checking in. We really appreciate it. And for those of you at home that want more information and to download that app, we're going to put a link on our website, voiceofct.com.